have a little thought I'd like to share with us this afternoon.
Amen.
I'd like to turn to the Gospel of Luke. The first chapter. And we'll start reading at the 13th verse. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I realize this word, in the spirit and power of Elias, that's made sense, more sense to me, that Elijah, it's speaking about Elijah, how Elijah turned the hearts of Israel back to God. And it said Elijah was going to be in that same spirit. But he said to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I'm thinking about that little word prepared this morning. You know, the Lord sent John the Baptist, and his message was repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it was trying to, you know, he just didn't send Christ and start his ministry. John the Baptist started before Christ.
That's right.
Probably at least 6 months before he started preaching, and people were confessing their sins at the Jordan River and being baptized. They were turning their hearts to God, repenting. And that's what John's purpose was, to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus, for the coming of the Lord, that their heart would be able to receive when the Lord came. And thank the Lord, that's what he did. But I want to talk about being prepared. You know, the Lord here was preparing the people, but I think about, you know, when they go to plant crops in the field or in a garden, what do? You usually prepare, you usually figure out how far do these plants need to be apart, and what kind of soil do they need. There's usually preparation. Sometimes you take the tiller through there to break up the hard ground. If you just go plant something, it's not going to be very successful. And I want to make a statement. I don't know, but I believe that preparation is probably almost 90%, 80 to 90% of the success of what's going to come following it.
Yes.
If there's no preparation, you know, it won't be successful usually. You know, an auto body, when there's wrecks, they don't just go in there and start spraying paint on the deal. They've got to prepare the prep work. Sometimes the prep work is a lot longer than the actual process itself. And I want to ask us this morning: How do you feel when you're not prepared? It doesn't feel very good. Your stress level rises, and anxiety, and you're sweating bullets up here, so to speak. And But I remember in school, I remember both. I remember being prepared and I remember being unprepared. And it feels so much better when you took the time the night before and you studied for the test and you memorized the things you need to, and you go in there, you walk in there, and you're ready.
Yes.
You're ready for it. Well, I believe it's important for us to prepare. And also at the same time, I believe the Lord is trying to prepare us. We try to prepare, and I believe the Lord is also trying to prepare us for the things that are ahead of us. I want to look another scripture, Luke, the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter and the in the 42nd verse, it said, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Then he said, And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." You know, there's a place for us to prepare ourselves. We have another scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and I just want to mention a few highlights here. Verse 11, he talks about being dead with him. Verse 12, being willing to suffer. To strive not about words of no profit. Verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Be careful with our words. Be careful that there's some good intentions behind the things that we say. It's not just vain, profane babblings. Then it says in verse 19, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So if we follow, if we're careful, if we're diligent to do these things, we can be a vessel that's sanctified, that's prepared and fit for the master's use. You know, the Lord is looking for vessels today. He wants to work. He wants to speak through our lips of clay. He wants to work through our hands and see through our eyes and help us to see the things that He sees. But we have to be prepared. You know, many times the Lord will open a door of opportunity or a window of opportunity for us to testify or witness. And if we're not careful, we'll be unprepared. It will catch us off guard and we'll say, "Oh, I missed that opportunity." But if we're living carefully and we're looking We can be someone that's prepared when that door opens, and sometimes it opens out of nowhere. It's just like it just happens. And God wants us to be able to be a vessel at that time, to be prepared to be able to do His work and to say and be what He's calling us to be at those times. I believe the Lord prepares us too. I believe I can look back in my life and I've heard and seen testimonies of how God works in other people's lives, and I believe the Lord is always endeavoring to prepare us for the things that are in front of us. He does things to help us to be prepared for trials and things that are coming down the pike that we don't see and we don't know. But He'll allow things, smaller things, to touch us before. I think of Jesus when He was, you know, He was there in the Mount. They had the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus saw the glory of God, and the two of the disciples saw Moses and Elias. They saw the glory of God. You know, it wasn't long after that, and Jesus was facing the cross. I believe it was a preparation. I believe it was a time of God revealing His glory to help Jesus to be able to carry through with what He had to go through. And I know God has done that for me. And He's done that. I've seen that through testimony and the things that have happened. I've seen God doing that. So Lord, help us not to waste our time and spending too much questions on asking why. But allow those things to work for our good and keep our eyes open and try to be prepared for what God has for us. There's another verse in Proverbs that says, a prudent man, he foresees the evil. He sees something ahead, and it says he hides himself. That doesn't mean that he just is hiding physically. It means that he's making preparations when the storm gets there and the battle and the trial is on. He's got something on hand that will help him to carry through. But it says the simple, they just pass on and they're punished. The simple pass on and punish, but the prudent man, he foresees the evil and he hides himself. Yes. Lord, help us today.
Yes,
to be able to foresee. Help us to be able to recognize and be able to do things in our life that will help me to be able to be in a hidden place with God, a place where it's more secure, more stable, and more in a position. I got that thought a long time, this last year, that our position is very vital to us in our spiritual life and our battles. You know, if the enemy can get us in unprepared, or if he can get us in a bad position, he can take great advantage of us in those times and those situations. But if we're prepared, if we have something on hand, then God can help us. I want to share another. I don't have the poem, but years ago when Robert and Julie were in school, been a long time, they had a little poem book, and there was a poem in there I liked, and I don't remember the title of it, but it's called, I believe it's Ambulance in the Valley. And there was a cliff in this poem. It's about a cliff, and people were falling off this cliff accidentally, getting hurt. So the townspeople, there was a town not far away, they got together, they had a meeting to decide, what are we going to do? People have fallen off. Well, one part of the crowd said, let's get an ambulance. Oh, he's got it here. Thank you. How'd you do that? I'll read this because it's worded a lot better than I can say it. 'Twas a dangerous cliff, as they freely confessed, though to walk near its crest was so pleasant. But over its terrible edge there had slipped a duke and full many a peasant. The people said something would have to be done, but their projects did not at all tally. Some said put a fence round the edge of the cliff, some an ambulance down in the valley. The lament of the crowd was profound and was loud, as their hearts overflowed with their pity. But the cry for the ambulance carried the day as it spread through the neighboring city. A collection was made to accumulate aid, and the dwellers in highway and alley gave dollars or cents not to furnish a fence, but an ambulance down in the valley. For the cliff is all right if you're careful, they said, and if folks ever slip and are dropping, it isn't the slipping that hurts them so much as the shock down below when they're stopping. So for years we have heard as these mishaps occurred, quick forth with the rescuer Sally to pick up the victims who fell from the cliff with the ambulance down in the valley. Said one to his peers, "It's a marvel to me that you'd give so much greater attention to repairing results than to curing the cause. You had much better aim at prevention." For the mischief, of course, should be stopped at its source. Come, neighbors and friends, let us rally. It is far better sense to rely on a fence than an ambulance down in the valley. Isn't that a neat poem? I love that poem. But you know what? Sometimes we live our lives with an ambulance in the valley. Now I want to, there's another scripture I want to get real quick. Luke 21. You know what's that saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Isn't that so true? A stitch in time saves nine. There's a lot of things that could be prevented if we prepared. Luke 21st chapter. And the 34th verse. He said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You know, he just gave them a whole catalog, a list of things that were going to happen. And then he tells them, take heed that your hearts are not overcharged. You know, this is a real danger in our world today. In our society, there's so much to do. There's so much going on in the world around about us. And if we're overcharged, that means encumbered. That means burdened down. If we're overcharged, we're with the cares of this life, you know what we're going to be doing? We're just going to be responding to the circumstances in our life. We're just going to be barely getting by because we're overcharged, we're overburdened. There's no plan, there's no preparation. I'm just responding to what's happening in my life. I believe the Lord has something better for us than that. If we'll get quiet, take time, prepare our hearts before God, the Lord can bring things to our minds. He can help us to know the things that are ahead, and He can help us to be in a place of being able to thrive spiritually. I'm not just surviving. I'm not just responding. I'm not just the ambulance picking up all these casualties. And Lord, help us today to know what the Lord wants us to do. But I believe this is a big thing in our day and time. We get too overcharged, overburdened, overtaxed. And I've been guilty of that many times. But I've been learning how to pull back. You know what? It takes time. You know, preparation takes time. It's not an accident. It just doesn't fall into place. Preparation takes effort. It takes time to seek God. That one song talks about it takes time to be holy. We've got to put the time in. We've got to put the prep. We've got to pull ourselves back some from all the commotion and all the movement and all the turmoil and things. I don't know how much you follow the news, but don't follow it too close. It overtax you. It'll overburden you. And you know what that does? That unprepares us. I'm not able to prepare when I'm overburdened and I'm overtaxed. And then I get caught off guard. When the enemy comes or the Lord brings something my way that He wants a vessel here ready for use, then I'm not ready because I'm too scattered. So Lord, I just want to challenge us today. There's another scripture in Ecclesiastes says, better is one hand full with quietness than two hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. And I believe we can all relate to that travail and vexation of spirit. You know, just before here, it talked about in verse 26, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. You know, we live in a stressed out society.
Yes.
People are stressed out.
Yes.
And they're walking time bombs.
Yes.
Just waiting to explode.
Oh, Lord.
Lord doesn't want us to be that way.
Amen.
He wants us to be able to withdraw and prepare ourselves. So may the Lord encourage us today not to be an ambulance in the valley. But we can have a fence prevention. Pray for me. Appreciate your attention.